You want to serve the Commonwealth, this is your chance.
This is some Heidi driving to right field, that one stolen to right. Hunter on the move, racing back, it's over his head. It's gone, it's in over the head. This game is tied, this game is tied.
Everybody, and welcome to another great episode of the Commonwealth of Champions podcast. And it is the Commonwealth of Champions, plural, because once again, we are adding another notch on the belt here in New England. And that's right, the Patriots are now six-time world champions. And that's what we're here to talk about. So before we dive into it, I do want to welcome in my co-host. He is the Full Press Coverage Patriots managing editor. His name is Mike DeBate. He is Mr. Rhode Island. Hello, Mike.
La, la, la.
La, la, la.
always a pleasure, and always a pleasure to join you 5 days removed from a sixth Super Bowl championship being delivered to Foxborough, Massachusetts. Oof. The facade of Gillette Stadium needs a little bit of work, my friend. We need to hang another banner, and they're going to do that in September. Amazing. And if you said this about 3 or 4 months ago, I think a lot of people would have probably either rolled their eyes or raised an eyebrow. When you think about what people were saying about this team when the season started and all of the supposed turmoil that went on, and these players are upset because Malcolm Butler was benched and they're not going to play for this one, and this is going to be Belichick's last year, and Brady's fallen off the cliff, and Gronkowski doesn't want to be here. They kind of pulled it all together when they needed to, and amazingly enough, they are Super Bowl champions once again for a record sixth time, and unbelievable, phenomenal, as Jim Rome would say. But really, speechless, my friend, just absolutely speechless.
It really is. I mean, I'm without speech. what can I say? You know, like it's one thing when you envision this and you sit there and watch how this team has gone. And, you know, we're both of the age that we've been able to watch this entire run and remember it very vividly from, you know, the early stages all the way up until now. And really, it's a blur. It's a blur because, I mean, it still really hasn't sunk in. And maybe that's because it's just become so old hat for people up in New England, especially the last 4 or 5 years, that, oh, okay, the Patriots, it's the first full week of February, and the Patriots are defending Super Bowl champions again. And who's to say that they're not going to get there next year? Actually, in fact, as I was collecting a bet that I made at the start of or at the end of last season, $25, that Brady would win a Super Bowl for the rest of his career, which I win. It only took 11 months to actually come to fruition. I've made yet another bet that they will again make it back to the Super Bowl. And look, maybe I'm living in the moment right now, but even if I am, the odds are pretty good in my favor because, you know, here comes that crazy stat again. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Brady's been starting for 17 seasons, minus 2008 and 2000, obviously. And in 9 of those seasons, he's gone to the Super Bowl. Now, I was never a math whiz growing up. However, I believe 9 is more than half of 17. Does that make sense? Because it's just an absurd percentage. That means more often than not, you can flip a coin and that would have worse odds to land on either heads or tails than Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl. That I know is correct math. It's just
It's outrageous, egregious, preposterous.
Okay, maybe not egregious. I forgot that part was in there. The outrageous part was there. I mean, that's really all it is right now. It's this team is just in a league that's just ripe with parody. And I know people might be like rolling their eyes when I say that because the Patriots are always in the Super Bowl. But let's face it, the NFL has the most parody out of any league, any major league right now. And the crazy thing is the Patriots are just that incredible outlier. And you know what? if these guys are going to be sticking around for the next couple of years, who's to say that they're not going to get back to another Super Bowl? Because the longest stretch they've ever gone without going to a Super Bowl is 3 years. So, again, 4 years, 2007 to 2011. I apologize. That was the longest stretch. Still, point made. It's very rare that you're going to see them not in that mix for a stretch of more than 2 years. So, yeah, it's pretty wild. So before we let's talk about the game a little bit. We are a few days away, so the emotions, just kind of living in the moment, the parade feeling, that time has passed. We are now in the, you know, looking back and just being able to actually reflect on what a great season this turned out to be for the Patriots. And, 13-3, just how we predicted, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in covering the game and giving live updates, it was really, really amazing watching it and going back and forth. And I remember tweeting out right before the fourth quarter began, we head to the fourth quarter tied at 3, just like everybody predicted.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that we had such little offense in the first 3 quarters. But when the game was on the line, one guy stepped it up. And, you know, I think a lot of it has been much maligned. And we'll get into Brady's performance in a little bit. I mean, certainly we're not going to sit here and throw complete laurels and bouquets at him. He had a game that was not up to his standards, and by everybody's admission, including his own, he's actually admitted that as well. But he got the key plays when he needed to, and that's what the great ones do. Even when they don't have their A game, they find a way to win. So we'll get into that in a minute, but you cannot talk about Super Bowl 53 without mentioning the shutdown defense of the New England Patriots. And who saw that one coming? You know, I mean, they really did pull it together over the course of the last few weeks and really showed some major strides as a defense, but they were much maligned all season. I mean, people were absolutely counting them out. They couldn't stop this. They can't stop the run. They're sluggish. They're inconsistent. These are all things that people tried to say about the New England Patriots defense. And basically what they did was they took a very basic game plan and really stuffed it back in the face of a very potent Los Angeles Rams offense. They wanted to stop the rushing attack, and they wanted to put the game in the hands of Jared Goff. They wanted to pressure Goff without blitzing, knowing that if they got to him early, they would rattle him and force him into mistakes. And they played more zone and off coverage in the secondary. They mixed it up on the Rams. I think what they did was they watched the Patriots play a heavy dosage of man coverage most season, and what they tried to do is they tried to mimic that. Those seem to be 3 pretty basic elements of what the Patriots' defensive game plan was, and they did all 3 of them to perfection. You have to give a lot of credit to Brian Flores, Bill Belichick, and the defensive brain trust of the New England Patriots. They had a masterful game plan and just completely took Goff and the Rams' offense out of the game right from the get-go. They didn't really stand a chance. They really and truly didn't. And you saw that in the NFL's mic'd up on the NFL Network. If anybody hasn't checked that out, I highly recommend doing that. If you're a Patriots fan, there is nothing better than hearing the inside musings of one William Belichick, who just is absolutely... You watch this game and you're just more in awe than you ever have been. He is so far ahead of the curve and just so far ahead of everybody. It's ridiculous. But great, great stuff. If you're a Patriots fan, you are still basking in the glow, and this one's going to continue for quite a while.
Well, and that's the crazy thing. And when you look at the season, not just the Patriots season, but the season as a whole, and you know, you're talking about record offensive numbers, 55 to 51 games and 45 to 55. I mean, it just offensive numbers off the charts. And naturally, of course, that means we're going to get the lowest scoring Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls. And it's like, and here's the thing, if people again, I'm taking my you know, rose-colored glasses off. You know, if people actually sit there and thought that was a boring game, I don't know what to tell you, because I, you know, like, maybe you just very much favor offense, but to me that was just a, that was a clinic of incredibly great line play on both sides. You know, let's not give the Rams defense credit, because I mean, again, we mentioned Brady struggled, you know, for a decent amount that game. I don't think he was as bad as, you know, a bunch of these pundits, quote unquote, wanted to say he was. However, I mean, a lot of that has to do with how the Rams played defense. But this was an old school, you know, it's not as physical as it used to be in the old days. You know how the old days used to be, you know, like
the football team at my high school, they were tough. After they sacked the quarterback, they went after his family.
So yeah, it wasn't quite those days, you know. Yeah, but still, again, this was a nice throwback to a very physical game of just, you know, pure line play and just getting the advantage and pushing. And we saw the Patriots offensive line just play excellent football down the stretch, really for most of the season, but, you know, most notably down the stretch. And we saw it, you know, with against San Diego. The other Los Angeles team, not the Lakers, but those Chargers, you know, Superchargers, wherever they play now. But we saw them do that against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and then again against Kansas City's defensive line. They were able to just completely just take them out of the game, and Aaron Donald was able to do some. You know, let's, again, I think this was kind of the thought process going into this game was, look, you're not going to completely eliminate Aaron Donald. He's too much of a beast on that line, but you have to keep him basically on his heels and not let him affect the game too much. And really, you know, aside from a few pressures that, you know, especially early on that kind of got into the face of Brady, there wasn't, you know, they didn't really affect the outcome. Clearly they didn't affect the outcome, but, you know, they weren't as effective as I think a lot of people hoped that they would be, because again, it's, you know, if you're not getting that pressure from Aaron Donald, then that's a trickle-down effect. And we saw guys like Nickel Roby Coleman have absolutely no clue what to do with Julian Edelman. And that was a matchup that was very much exploited, even though the rest of the defense, I mean, Chris Hogan was completely blanketed the entire game. Philip Dorsett, I don't know if he even got a pass targeted towards him. So the Patriots were working with a very, you know, very small portion of their offensive weapons, and that was mainly Gronk, Edelman, and Sony Michel. So, again, hats off to the Rams defense. They played a great game. They really did. But ultimately, the Patriots played, you know, perhaps one of the best defensive games they've played in a very long time. And this is basically taking into account the moment, the game, the team. I mean, this is as impressive of a Super Bowl run as they have ever had, and that's saying a lot, you know, especially when you look at where these other teams ranked among some of the best teams that they played on en route to the Super Bowl. So, you know, this is something certainly I think is going to take a little bit more time to truly appreciate where this ranks among Patriots Super Bowl wins, but, you know, coming right off Sunday, I put this, you know, kind of up there. There's not too many that are above this, just because of the magnitude and just how it was won. So again, we named our show the Commonwealth of Champions for a reason, and it, you know, I already have to update the intro, and we're only four episodes into this great podcast. So again, it's one of those things that, you know, it's going to be quite a task, you know, but it is going to be nice too. And I'm assuming, I'm just, you know, throwing it out there, when the Red Sox raise their 2018 championship World Series banner, I'm guessing the Patriots and a couple Super Bowl trophies might be on hand too. So again, that just, if anything sums up what it's like to be a Boston sports fan, it's that. It's that within 98 days of each other, the Boston Red Sox and the New England Patriots became world champions for not the first, second, or third time. The Red Sox became four-time world champions in this century, and the Patriots obviously was six. So, again, it's a hell of a time to be a Boston and New England sports fan.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know that when that opening day does arrive in April and the Green Monster is covered, or blanketed, I should say, with that big American flag, all of a sudden that thing's going to start to unfurl, and six Lombardi trophies are going to come walking out of left field onto the pitcher's mound. And what a great moment that's going to be, knowing that both of those teams are current reigning world champions in their own profession. That's an amazing thing. It really is. And, you know, seeing firsthand, you know, people's reaction on Tuesday when the victory parade and the rolling rally was going through the streets of Boston, 1.5 million people turned out to cheer on and to congratulate their champion, New England Patriots. People that think that this franchise is losing its fan base, or that the fan base is becoming complacent, or that they're becoming, they've got either Patriot overload, or they're not focusing on this team that much. You really, really needed to see what went on in Boston. Everybody was just absolutely beyond excited, and I'm fumbling for words because it really is stuff that I think can't be put into words. It's just an amazing thing when you take a look at the amount of success that this region has had. And I'm not just talking about the Patriots. I'm talking about the Celtics being relevant for quite a while, the Bruins putting together great teams, the Red Sox winning World Series titles, and the Patriots winning Super Bowl titles. It's easy to see how people can think that the city of Boston is entitled, but people forget that there have been some lean and very difficult times in the city of Boston as well. 1918 isn't that long ago. We're about 15 years removed from that curse being broken, but that was a staple of Boston sports for number of years. Exactly, and it just, I mean, that was always the comeback for a Boston sports fan. Yeah, well, 1918, and you know what? We had to tuck tail between our legs, and we had to basically grin and bear it because there was no retort for that. There really was no comeback for it. And now it just seems like there's nonstop winning in Boston, and it really, truly is amazing. You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, the crazy thing about it all is, too, is like hidden amongst all the winning is some of the worst heartbreak in sports that you can imagine. I can't remember where I saw this, but, like, you know, I know someone put it out there a little bit like, okay, I know what people are going to say. However, you know, aside from all the incredible wins and everything like this, this region has suffered some of the worst losses you can think of. And, you know, obviously immediately you think back to 2007, obviously the undefeated season. Even think back to 2013, the Bruins, you know, a minute and a half away from forcing a game seven, and all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, Chicago scores twice, and that's it. The Stanley Cup Finals are over. Obviously, the Celtics in 2010, if Kendrick Perkins doesn't go down, I mean, what's going to happen? You know, they had the Lakers where, you know, to the point where they could have won a second NBA championship with Garnett, Pierce, and Allen, and all that, and that didn't happen. Obviously, the Yankees beating the Red Sox in 03. And so, again, there's and I know people, fortunately, the majority of our audience are Boston sports fans, so not too many other people are going to hear this. But, you know, really, if you're out there listening and you're not a Boston sports fan, you're probably telling me to shut the hell up. You know, what are you talking about? But, you know, that's kind of what comes with the territory, because, you know, around here, the expectations, especially when, you know, again, this is especially when you talk about the Patriots, it's championship or bust. There's no alternative to it. So really, and I remarked about this over the weekend of, you know, the AFC and NFC championship game, is like, you know, this is the first real weekend of the Patriots season. This is the first time that I really, like, I watch every game intently. I'm really at the edge of my seat. But this is, you know, when I'm really, really at the edge of my seat. This is when I get up and I start pacing back and forth. And, you know, palms are sweaty, knees weak, you know, all that stuff. You know, I just completely duff that and did one line where it, okay, I'm not Eminem, clearly. I have the complexion, but I am not Eminem. So don't judge me based on my attempt to, you know, rap his song. But again, it's just, it kind of puts in perspective where you are as a franchise, you know, where you are as a city following these teams that, you know, it's you know, how many miles have the duck boats been put on over the last 17 years? Like, how many miles?
A lot of mileage on those boats.
I'm guessing the warranty ran out. Just throwing it out there. So, but yeah, before we get too far off on a little tangent here, we did want to, obviously, we talked a little bit about how the defense, I mean, it was a fantastic defensive game plan. And again, we both agree, you know, Brady wasn't at his best. You know, he wasn't as bad as what people said he was, because they were still moving the ball. I mean, let's not act like he was Peyton Manning in that Super Bowl. And I saw some of that, and it's like, guys, he still threw for nearly 300 yards against a very good defense and was clearly, you know, affected early on in the game. But
yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, Tom definitely was not out there throwing ducks out there, and I think a lot of people are trying to portray that image because it helps their
wishful thinking,
rather feeble and pedestrian opinions make a little bit more sense. But when you actually use your eyes and your common sense, you'll see that it really wasn't. You really want to give some credit, and I know you've been doing that, and I want to give a little bit of credit too. You got to give a lot of credit to Wade Phillips and the defensive game plan that the Rams came in with. It really took Tom out of his game for three quarters, really. I mean, if you think about it, they did a great job. They rotated through various coverages, both through man and zone, and that takes away Tom's ability to read pre-snap. And that really is what drives his patented quick release. I mean, that's his trademark. That's what allows him to be better than anybody else on the field at the time, is the fact that he can read the defense pre-snap, and he can, you know, release the ball quicker than anyone else. Mixing those coverages, and when Brady could not pick up whether it was zone or man, it's very difficult to do that. And I don't care what quarterback you are, you're going to have your difficulties. And he did. But when the Patriots needed to put the game away, Brady was there to finish the deal. And that is what separates, and I alluded to this earlier, that's what separates the great quarterbacks from the decent to lower echelon quarterbacks, the guys that can take even a bad performance and make something positive out of it and be able to win the game, put the game in their hands, and be able to do that. And that's exactly what he did with a absolute textbook pass to Rob Gronkowski to nearly finish the game and finish that drive. That's about as accurate, sharp, and right on the money of a pass as you'll see a quarterback throw. So you got to give him a lot of credit for that. Just unbelievable. A 29-yard dart right to Rob Gronkowski, who made a tremendous haul in. You know, I actually thought he was going to break that. I really thought that was going into the end zone. And then obviously they got the ball handed off to Sony Michel, rumbled through, and they get the 7 points. But that drive really, that was a game winner. And I'm surprised more people aren't giving him enough credit for that.
If Tom Brady wasn't living, y'all could be in the Super Bowl.
There, you know, that might have been the truest thing I've heard all weekend. And, you know, if anyone doesn't know where that's from, that was obviously Steve Harvey at the NFL Honors the night before the Super Bowl. And look, I mean, it's supposed to be a joke, but really, like, it's true. And it's, you know, I'm glad, like I said, you brought it up that, you know, yes, we, you know, neither of us will sit here and tell you that's the best Super Bowl he's ever played. But when it counted the most, and that was kind of the thing I was keying in on most of the night, was I wasn't as nervous as I had been in other Super Bowls. I kind of felt, especially coming out of half, that, you know, the Patriots were playing really well. They just, for whatever reason, they left points on the board, whether it was the interception or the missed field goal to start. They just left points on the board. But the more I watched this team, especially coming out of the half, like, I wanted to see it in the start of the second half as well. I just looked and was like, look, the Patriots just need one touchdown. One touchdown. And this game is likely going to be over, because at this point I have zero faith in the Rams' ability to move down the field, let alone score, you know? So again, that was me keeping the faith, I guess, knowing that, okay, look, we have this guy, Tom Brady, you know, the guy. How many times has he gone down and led a game-winning drive? It happens every single season. Like, every season. Like, Joe Montana's 91-yard touchdown drive was stuff of legends, and rightfully so. And that was such an incredible, you know, benchmark at his career, point of his career. How many times has Brady done that? Like, he did that in the Atlanta Super Bowl, in between two other drives that were necessary and you needed. You know, the guy threw for 500 yards last year in a loss. And again, you know, you struggle, you know, quote unquote struggle for him. And, you know, at the end of the game, he's perfect on that drive, 4 for 4. A beautiful pass to Rob Gronkowski. I saw an image not too long ago. It's kind of the behind Brady view of it. And he releases that ball long before Rob Gronkowski even makes his cut. Like, the when you see the image and where the ball's released, you can just it makes the throw even that much better because of the anticipation. And I know you said it looked like he was going to go in the end zone, but that's another key point in that is, you know, Brady could have led him more into the end zone, but you know what? You have a safety coming across the field, and right. You know, you're looking at a very low risk, or not low risk, low completion play right there. So everything about it was just it was beautiful, and for me it was something that's all I needed to see, because the second that pass was completed, it's like there's not a chance in the world this team's going to lose the Super Bowl, and you know, here we are 5 days later and championship number 6. So.
You're absolutely right. And it really is a tale of two quarterbacks, and I think a tale of really two teams and mm-hmm. how equipped one was to be able to handle anything and everything that was thrown at them. And the other just looked like they were out of sorts. And on the next play, on the next drive, on the opposite side, you see the Los Angeles Rams. And yeah, they're coming down. They're getting ready. They're really priming up. Made a couple of big completions. And they're at the Patriots' 27-yard line. But again, the genius of Tom Brady, like you said, is being able to put the ball only where Rob Gronkowski could catch it and only where he could field it and get positive yardage, not anything that was going to go over the top, not anything that could possibly be intercepted. He made that ill-timed interception early on in the game, and he actually walked over to the sideline. He says, "I'm not going to make another mistake again tonight, boys." And he didn't.
No.
He really didn't. And he absolutely, you know, came through on that. But you take a look at how Brady's interception early on and Goff's interception to really seal the game for the New England Patriots, a very, very big read by Stephon Gilmore. I think if you really break it down, I think this and the McCourty breakup in the end of the Jason
yes.
McCourty breakup
yes.
of Brandon Cooks in the end zone, to me, those are the two plays that really defined this Super Bowl. As much as I absolutely loved the catch and the throw from Brady to Gronkowski, those two really, I think, are going to define this Super Bowl. Maybe because it was so defensive-minded and because it was so defensive-dominated, I think it would. But on that interception, if you notice, the Patriots brought Devin McCourty in at safety and Daron Harmon on an all-out blitz
yep.
on Jared Goff. McCourty was occupying the running back. That gave Harmon a free run at Goff. And in that scheme, the Patriots wanted their defensive backs to play as ball hawks. They had their eyes in the backfield. They really, you know, had a read, and Gilmore said after the game, he said he could see the desperation in Jared Goff's eyes. When he saw him release the ball under pressure, he read it the whole way, and he knew that he was going to grab the interception. The Patriots player said it on the sideline. He's going to give us one. He's going to give us one, and that's exactly what happened. They were able to read it. It was a difference between a quarterback that's been there several times before, knows how to get the job done, and just has an innate ability of being able to win the game when the game is on the line, as opposed to a guy like Goff. And look, I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to, you know, lambast Jared Goff. He had a tremendous season. This kid's the real deal. He's going to be around for a number of years. He's a good young quarterback. He's not just going to be one of these guys that had a poor Super Bowl, is going to crawl under and just basically, you know, hibernate for the rest of his career. He'll bounce back, and he'll probably bounce back nicely. I like a lot of what I've seen from Jared Goff, but his inexperience and his inability to be able to do what Tom Brady has done so many times in his career was the big difference in this game.
Well, you brought up the great videos. I mean, again, this is just part of the tradition. Like, I came to realize just the other night that how much I love the post-championship night, just radio listening and article reading, and just that whole feeling of Sunday night, that the Super Bowl's over, the trophy's been presented, and it's a routine. It's a routine to go through all this. And again, this is what, you know, what we do when you watch your team, the Patriots in particular, because that's what we're talking about, win 6 championships and then 3 in the last 5 years. You get so accustomed to these, just the process. And part of the process is the release of all the great audio and great video from Turning Point and NFL films and all that stuff. I mean, it's after a while, it's all repetitive. It's all pretty much the same stuff repackaged on different shows, but you still always get little tidbits here and there. And, you know, one of the things that really stuck out to me, and I know it stuck out to a lot of people, was, you know, this game was lost before the ball was even kicked off. The Rams were in a way, they were kind of just in awe of the situation. We saw not only Sean McVay kind of gushing to Bill Belichick about how great he was, and Belichick kind of just, you know, being cordial and everything like that, but not really going to that same lengths. But you sit there and watch, and it's like, man, like, I get it. Sean McVay's a great coach, but if you're going in with that mentality of just kind of being, you know, oh my God, it's Bill Belichick, like, that's a huge disadvantage. And then you could even see it, like, before the game where they're standing on the sidelines just kind of just watching Tom Brady and just being like, wow, you know, that's how you're supposed to throw. That's how you're supposed to look. Yeah. And it's like, in a situation like that, like, you can't show any weakness. And that's kind of just right there. That's like blood in the water, and the Patriots were the shark. Like, they saw that. They saw that, and it was it. So
you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, and I don't know if anybody's seen this. I know you have, but I don't know if our listeners have seen the movie The Replacements with Keanu Reeves. And, you know, it's not going to go down as one of the great movies of our time. It's kind of a lame football comedy, but there are some elements that are kind of respect. You know?
No respect.
But in any case, there's toward the end of the movie, the Replacements have to play the entire Dallas squad that crosses the picket line. And you see a lot of the players on the opposite side that are replacement players that are looking across. And I know one of them looked at one of, I guess, you know, supposed to be one of the NFL superstars at the time, with a replacement player lining up across from him. And he's like, hey, after the game, you think maybe I can get an autograph? And it just, that's what it reminded me of when you heard the Rams coaches that were gushing over the way Tom Brady was throwing the ball in warmups, when you heard them constantly, you know, heaping praise and worried about what Bill Belichick was going to do and what they were going to think. The Patriots are in your head. Before you ever take the field, they've got a psychological advantage over you, and that really can absolutely mess with a team's chemistry. I remember seeing and hearing about so many of the older dynasties where the old 50s and 60s Celtics, you know, where people would come in and Red Auerbach would say, we knew we had the team beat before the opening tip off.
Yep.
They'd come in, they'd be wide eyed, they'd see Bill Russell, you'd see the knees knocking, and all of a sudden they'd be like, okay, well, we got this one. I remember hearing Mickey Mantle, you know, give post game, you know, and post analysis, you know, interviews and whatnot back after he retired, and saying, you know, we'd take on teams in the World Series and they'd be like, oh God, you know, I got to go against Whitey Ford. You know, how are we going to get Mickey out? How are we going to go against Joe D and Yogi and all those guys? And the Yankees had that mystique back then that just, they beat you before you even bothered to play the game. And you see that so much with the New England Patriots right now. They are so much in the head of their opponent that it's almost impossible for, you know, for them to be able to compete. The good ones that really can take it to them are very few and far between. We actually saw one in the Kansas City Chiefs. They gave the Patriots all they could handle in that game. But again, it really came down to the Patriots being able to make plays as opposed to the Chiefs that just were not able to do that in the final moments. Just remarkable, just absolutely remarkable as we, you know, put the cap on such an amazing Patriots season. One of the more, I think really one of the more likable teams when you take a look at what the Patriots were able to do. We saw them have fun this year in a way that I don't think we've seen them in quite a while. You take a look at some of those championship teams, the recent Patriots championship teams. I'm talking about the Super Bowl 49 and the Super Bowl 51 teams. Great ball clubs, and not taking anything away from either one of them. Phenomenal ball clubs. They were all great, had great moments. Obviously, the 28-3 in Super Bowl 51, the Malcolm Butler interception in 49, tremendous. But those teams looked emotionally and just physically spent by the end of the season. I don't know if you caught this, but that Patriots team that won on Sunday night, I got the impression that they were ready to take other people on. I mean,
really,
it was just like, they were so overly pumped for this postseason, for this playoff run, that it was almost like, you know, I could almost see like Tom Brady walking around Mercedes-Benz, you know, stadium, walking around.
Who are we playing next week?
Yeah, exactly. I could just see him like walking around like,
you want Bama.
It's true. It reminded me of like Maximus from Gladiator. Are you not entertained? You know, really. I mean, you could just. It was almost like, you know, like taunting the rest of the league. Like, bring it on. Bring on everything that you got. You think that the Chargers are better than us. You think the Chiefs are better than us. You think that the Rams are better than us. Bring them all on, and we'll beat them. Well, and that's exactly what they did.
And I'm glad you kind of made that comparison, because it felt like it was so pressureless. You know, I posed a question through the FBC Patriots account recently, just kind of how do you rank these victories? And I personally put 49 pretty high up there, partly because when I look back at this run, I look at how important Super Bowl 49 was, because, you know, obviously, let us not relive Deflategate, but the whole Deflategate nonsense happened. But really, the biggest thing was they hadn't won a championship in 10 years. And it was starting to get to the point where, you know, that they were, again, you could argue that maybe it was over for them. But winning Super Bowl 49 it launched what this was. I mean, really, if you think about it, that Chiefs game in week 4 of the 2014 season launched what we're watching right now. That catapulted this team, and it culminated last night. And I don't want to say culminated, but it culminated this most recent season in another Super Bowl win. One that, again, like you mentioned, I think was the most satisfying, really. And it's just you could see it on their faces. You could see it how they played the game, where they were, and this team was really together. And that was one of the things I hated. I know we've talked about it, but that was one of the things I hated a lot about. Going through this season, was so many people were trying to compare this to 2009, and it was just lazy. It was just because it was the last time they won fewer than 12 games, and the reason it was stupid was it was very clear that team had a personnel problem. There were too many personalities, from Adalius Thomas to, look, even Randy Moss wasn't, you know, Randy Moss. That was kind of getting closer to the end of his, you know, time in New England. So. Again, I hated that comparison, because I knew this team was there. It was more than that. And you could see it again. You see it in all these clips that come out. You know, obviously you have the McCourty twins. Those guys alone, I mean, like Jason having a fantastic season and them winning a Super Bowl together. And, you know, Stephon Gilmore, the quiet, you know, assassin or whatever you want to call him, just kind of going out there and doing his thing. Trey Flowers is one of the best defensive ends in the league, but he's quiet. Yeah. And he just gets the job done. It's again, like you said, it's a very likable team, unless you ask the Boston.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we won't get into that. We're dealing in positivity. It's just
very, very positive today. Yeah.
Up here in Boston. So we're going to continue that. And we're going to be all about positivity in the Commonwealth. But, Again, Trey Flowers, can't say enough about him. A key cog in that defense absolutely has to be brought back, in my opinion. I really, really think he's earned a good contract this year, and I do believe he'll get one. And I just hope it is with the Patriots, because such an important part of what they do.
I don't want to cut you off too much. I just want to throw this little tidbit in. But I do feel like Trey Flowers, he's not Chandler. I'm not saying talent. I'm saying, like, in terms of re-signability. You know what I mean? Like, Trey Flowers seems like that Dante Hightower type, where he's the guy you're going to choose to re-sign if you're going to re-sign someone and pay them. You know, because, again, there's this misconception that the Patriots don't pay players. No, they pay players. They just don't pay everyone. And so, but again, I don't
know. Yeah, and they're selective about who they do. And you know what? For all the stuff that Bill the GM, quote unquote, has to endure, because, you know, people, talking heads, want to say, oh, Bill the GM just assassinated Bill the coach. Well, I think Bill the GM hit the nail on the head numerous times this time around.
Joe Tooney. Yeah, Joe Tooney, exactly. How'd they give up Chandler Jones? They didn't get nothing but Jonathan Cooper. Well, if anyone was paying attention at the time, it came out not too long after that Jonathan Cooper was a throw-in and not in favor. You know, Bill was just like, all right, whatever, we'll take him so we can get the pick. And that was essentially what it was. Well, that pick turned into Malcolm Mitchell and Joe Tooney. Malcolm Mitchell, unfortunately, is obviously not with the team, but played a crucial role in them winning Super Bowl number 5.
Yeah, they do not win Super Bowl 51 without Malcolm Mitchell.
Absolutely
People
not.
Forget that.
Absolutely not. And guess what? They don't win it without Joe Tooney either, because he's played every game since he's been drafted for three straight years.
Every single snap.
And,
did not miss a snap this year.
And he took on Aaron Donald twice, one-on-one, in that final drive, or the touchdown scoring drive. So again, the people that, you know, bemoan and yell out, oh, well, you know, how do you not pay Chandler Jones? How do you not keep, guess what? Tom Brady, the Patriots, and Bill Belichick are all thankful that they traded Chandler Jones, because as great of an individual player as he is, there's no denying that he just wasn't, this was a better move for them. And obviously it's paid off in two Super Bowl wins. So again, it's, and again, this is just another example of how likable this team is, because you look at the Joe Tooneys, you look at the David Andrews, obviously Julian Edelman. I mean, these guys are all household names now, but, you know, you're talking about undrafted, seventh round, you know, afterthought draft pick after trading away Chandler Jones. So again, it's an incredible team to watch, and really I kind of wish they were going back out this Sunday to play someone, you know.
Yeah, I know, I think everybody does. And you know, we've given a lot of love to the defense, and they absolutely deserve it without question. They were the stars of the day. The offense came up with the plays when they needed to, specifically Edelman, who won the MVP, a very deserving. Tom Brady is always going to be an MVP on the field, there's no question about it. He is the magic man, and the man that makes everything happen. Rob Gronkowski, Sony Michel, you've seen so many of these guys do that. Two guys I want to mention primarily, and I don't think you win the Super Bowl with either one of these without either one of these guys.
I think I
either.
Know one of them.
Special teamers, Ryan Allen and Matthew Slater. These guys for special teamers are as good as it gets in this league. Ryan Allen was phenomenal on Sunday.
Yep.
You know, the punting abilities that he displayed, routinely pinning this Los Angeles Rams offense in very precarious positions, being able to put the ball almost in precision places, that really just, it was absolutely masterful to see it. And then who's down there in coverage but Matthew Slater?
Every
and
single
always
time.
Just seems to be in the right place at the right time. Let me tell you something, folks, that is not easy to do. It is not just coincidence. It's not luck. It is pure skill and football intelligence. Slater continues to prove why he's one of the best in the game at what he does. Phenomenal game for the both of them. I think you actually could have made an outside argument that really could have made a lot of sense, that could have either nominated one of those two guys for MVP of the Super Bowl, really. If Edelman did not have the game that he had because of the statistics and just being able to be overwhelming in terms of what he was able to do in moving the chains, I mean, who really was more valuable in that game than Allen or Slater? It's amazing. It really, really, truly was.
Think about this. If Dante Hightower holds on to that pick to start the second half, he's probably the Super Bowl MVP if everything stays the same. Because, you know, he racked up a couple sacks, quarterback hits, I mean, pressure. I mean, again, this was a Brady hater. And when I say Brady hater, it's basically speaking to the lowest common denominator when it comes to intelligent sports fans.
Rob Parker.
Yeah, Rob Parker, the sports talk Barry trolls of the world. You know, that whole group.
Oh, God.
You know, they were...
You know, oh, please, do not even go into sports talk, Barry. I mean,
well,
Parker,
look...
Parker and Kellerman, at least there's like, I don't know, maybe an education level there that I'm not aware of.
I'm starting to doubt that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I mean, really, I mean, Sports Talk Barry, that's like, oh, please, that's like scum on the bottom of the shoe.
Well, and I wish I didn't have to bring it up, but sadly, the guy has 90,000 followers and way too many people that follow what he says. So, again, unfortunately, for whatever reason,
for some odd reason, I have no idea why, but yeah.
Well, it's outrageous. But again, you know, you're sitting there watching this game, and you know the uneducated football Patriot hater fans out there are immediately being like, oh, this is great. You know, Brady sucked. He got carried to the Super Bowl. You know, let's not, you know, just forgetting. Again, and I brought this up after the game. It's like people talking about how, you know, quote unquote bad Brady played, but it's like, well, it's not like they didn't just put 78 points up against the Chargers and the Chiefs to get there. And if you look at his stretch of last, again, let's go back to just, let's start at 2014. You know, you're talking 15 games, Am I doing the math right? Again,
you are.
Math and me sometimes doesn't mix, but 13-10.
No, don't worry about it. Not me either. You haven't met your match in terms of co-hosts, my friend.
Yeah, no, don't. One of us. No, trust me. I don't want to put myself on the spot. But 15 games. He is not only is the record just fantastic, but he's been on one of the greatest stretches of play. I mean, again. Every time I think about it, it's just that the stats are so amazing, because if you think about it, Joe Montana was the benchmark when it came to especially playoff success, and he was 16-7 in the playoffs. Tom Brady is 15-7 in AFC and Super Bowl games alone, and that, again, that's just one of those, you know, blow your mind type numbers, which with this team, it's something that's become old hat. It's like, oh, another ridiculously outrageous statistic that is just otherworldly, but we just look and be like, huh, well, hey, it's the Patriots. You kind of come to expect it. But it's, again, it's just outrageous. And again, you look at his points per game. They put up over 30 points in how many playoff games now. They're averaging, you know, over 30 leading into that Super Bowl. I mean, he's had some of the greatest games that any quarterback has ever had. And it's like, look, his recent run from just 2014 is enough to make a case for him being the greatest playoff quarterback of all time. And that's before you factor in the fact that he started his career 10-0 with 3 Super Bowls. So, again, it's just... the more you dive into it, the more outrageous it seems, and the more crazy it just doesn't seem believable. Like, if I were to wake up tomorrow and someone came in and be like, hey man, you've been in a coma for the last 20 years, and Drew Bledsoe, he retired in 2003, the Patriots never won, blah blah blah, okay, and I'd believe that. I'd be like, you know what, that actually makes a lot more sense than what I actually thought happened, which is 6 Super Bowls, 9 appearances, and this team, look, I told you at the start of the show, I already made a bet for next year. I made a bet that they will win the Super Bowl. I may be wrong, but you know what? There's a better chance that I'm right than I'm wrong. So
I'll tell you, I agree with you. Yeah. I don't think there's really much of a chance that these guys are not in right in the thick of things. I mean, I think that's almost a mathematical certainty that they're going to be right there at the end. Now, are they going to advance to Miami and play in Super Bowl 54? I think that's still up for debate. I think there's still a little bit of uncertainty with that. It is so, so tough to repeat in this league. And, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong, and there's so many things that can happen. And
but see, you know, I don't even factor, honestly, I don't mean to interrupt you. I mean, I do, because I did interrupt you, but I don't even factor that anymore. And I know that sounds crazy. The way I look at it is, are the Patriots going to be healthy, and are they going to be on the field? Okay, well, I don't care that it's hard to repeat, because they just, you know, they're a 2-point conversion shy of going to 5 straight Super Bowls. I have no doubt in my mind that this team can, you know, go through that process and not be hurt from that. It's just a matter of staying healthy and playing good football. And, you know, again, how can you bet against it?
It's true. When you think about it, I mean, you talked about their, you know, a 2-point conversion away from going to, you know, 5 straight. Going to 5 straight Super Bowls. They stopped the Eagles at 4th down last year, and we're talking about 3 straight wins. We're talking about a triple threat back-to-back-to-back championships in a league that is designed, absolutely designed for parity. That type of success is not supposed to happen in the modern day NFL. Well, they actually set out to make sure that that type of success wasn't possible in the NFL in the modern day, and the Patriots continue to do it.
And what makes it even more crazy is, like, obviously, so the Patriots are regularly picking 29, 30, 31, or 32. That's pretty much where they pick in the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
So
having them taken away for stupid reasons, but we won't get into that.
Well, no, that's exactly what I was going to get to. So not only are they dealing with the normal disadvantages of winning with having lower draft picks, they've had two seasons where they've had their first round pick completely stripped away from them, and they've still managed to overcome it. And again, it's just another one of those absurd things where you're like, how is this possible? I look at the Bears, and they don't have a first round pick or second round pick, because, you know, well, they traded to get, you know, Khalil Mack, and guess what, that's probably going to hurt them a lot because, you know, they're a team that, you know, and again, I'm not saying that they're not going to be good. I'm just saying, like, they're a team right now where they could really use one more really good young player to put them over the edge. And, you know, who knows? Right. Maybe they get it. They find someone, who knows? But again, it's why I say the NFL has the most parity of any league. And again, people will, especially casuals, will, how is that possible? The Patriots are in it every year. Well, look at the rest of the league. The entire rest of the league, there is so much turnover. There's so much worst to first and first to worst. And you just, the Patriots are the outlier. They're just so far and away, just an anomaly in this modern NFL. And for a good reason. And that's what I'm getting at. It's like, you know, they've done it right.
It's so true. It was funny. You know, in watching the NFL Network the other night on Mic'd Up, and really, I mean, again, I can't stress enough of, you know, if you're a Patriots fan, you absolutely want to see the NFL Super Bowls Mic'd Up. I know they're pretty much playing it all week long, and I definitely recommend checking it out. Flipping through, and I came across NBA TV, and there is an interview with Pat Riley, and Pat Riley is sitting there, and he was talking about Magic Johnson. He was talking about the success that he had in the 80s, about how he started off with Dr. J, and then he moved to Larry Bird, and then it was Isaiah, and then after that it was Michael Jordan toward the end of his career. And he was inviting all these guys, at least two or three or maybe one or whatever. He invited every one of them to the finals, but he was really the only constant. Mm-hmm. And that, folks, is Tom Brady. But just think about it. He doesn't just have one stretch like that where Magic had about a 10-year period of dominance where he was basically the only face that you always saw in the NBA Finals. Tom Brady's got two decades of doing this. That's amazing. That's incredible. Phenomenal. And really, I mean, when you think about it, it just blows your mind, because nobody's ever going to see this type of dominance once again between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick on the sidelines, who you have to give as much credit as anybody to be able to hold this team together for that long, to be able to put the personnel around the greatest quarterback to ever wear shoulder pads, and be able to deliver year after year after year a team that just, on paper, never usually blows your mind. With the exception of that 07 team, when you take a look at that team that was absolutely loaded with talent, you never really look at a New England Patriots roster and go, oh my God, this is a super team. They went out and they bought a super team. You even looked at the guys that were on there this year, and you took a look at it, and they didn't have necessarily the big names. I took a little bit of umbrage with Ryan Hannibal's article earlier this week. For anybody that that doesn't know, Ryan Hannibal was the beat writer for the Patriots for WEEI.com. And listen, Ryan does a great job. I'm not going to sit here and berate him. I think he's, you know, he covers the team well. He's a good writer. He's a good analyst. But to come out and say that this team won despite a lack of talent,
that was really,
I think, an egregious mess. And I really don't know if it was just designed to raise the ire of Patriots fans. If that was the intention, he certainly did his job. Yeah. But if he had any element of truth to that, you cannot look at guys on this team and say they don't have talent. Maybe they don't have the name. Maybe they don't have the pedigree. But these guys certainly had the talent. I defy you to tell me a more talented linebacker this year that made a bigger impact on his team than a guy like Kyle Van Noy, who I know our friend Chris Blackie right now is listening to this going, yep, that's right, that's my man, because he is. He had a tremendous season. I defy you to tell me a cornerback that had more of an impact on his team this year, positively coming into a new situation, than Jason McCourty. I don't think you can do it. Those two
talk about an afterthought acquisition. Like, remember people talking about, oh, is McCourty going to get cut at the end of camp?
People thought he was going to get cut at the end of camp. They had roster projections that were saying that he was not going to make this team.
Well, they were talking about Devin and him, you know, trying to be like, okay, you got to learn this, you got to learn this. Jason McCourty was. I can't say, and look, his play in the Super Bowl kind of really was the icing on the cake for him, because, you know, people look, oh yeah, he had a really good Super Bowl. No, he had a really good season from start to finish.
Yeah, he did.
He was fantastic. And again, we talked about it a lot, and I know I've been kind of pounding the drum on this for a while, but this secondary is one of the best, if not the best in the league from you know, top to bottom, safety, cornerback depth, everything. And we saw it on full display, not only in the Super Bowl, but against Kansas City, against Travis Kelce, and obviously Tyreek Hill. So,
again,
yeah, so like you said, to make the assertion that this team won in spite of the talent deficiency, that's not true. This team had a lot of talent. It was just, again, I think this was a confusing season to read, because you could make you could make a case for this team being really, really good or not so good, and they'd both be kind of legitimate. Because, you know, my whole perspective on it was I'd look at this team as a team that continued to beat the best teams in the league. They were perfect all season against teams that went to the playoffs, and even teams that were like borderline playoff, like the Vikings of the world, you know, teams you assume would probably be playoff teams. So again, 7-0. Yeah, they lost to Detroit. They lost to Miami. They lost to the Titans. And, you know, it's hard to explain that. And they lost to the Steelers for the first time in, you know, 82 years. So, again, it feels like it, you know. I'm pretty.
It does. It feels like it. I tell you, that guy that destroyed his TV. And it was, did you see
this? Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. Let's put it this way. I put this out on social media the other night. What is wrong with people? If anybody that has not checked this out, please go to BarstoolSports.com. And I know there's a few other outlets that are reporting it, but I saw it on Barstool. And there is a guy, and I use the term loosely, a really well-adjusted human being. This must be a real pillar of the community. Clearly, in Pittsburgh, he's got a Pittsburgh jersey on, and he grabs a broomstick and proceeds to absolutely smash the holy hell out of his big screen TV. And this is an impressive TV. This has got to be at least 60-inch. I mean, this is a good-sized TV that he's smashing the hell out of with his broomstick and just completely and utterly destroying it. And the thing that made me laugh the most is when the TV finally, like, you know, just absolutely gives up and dies, Brady is the last image that TV ever projected. I love it. It is a picture. It is an image of Tom Brady smiling. And it looks like he's about to embrace Bill Belichick, which would only be even more, you know, that would only be even more icing on the cake. But that is exactly what Patriots fandom does to the rest of the country. And you know that there were people on the other end of that were probably doing, I don't know if anybody took that drastic of a measure, but there were people that I'm sure felt like doing it, watching Brady celebrate again. It was one of those moments where you take a look, and now I guess, you know, Pittsburgh's going to continue to lose their collective mind because they no longer hold the record for the most championships, Super Bowl championships in NFL history. That they now sit atop the league with the New England Patriots. And boy, I don't know what's going to happen down in the burg if the Patriots bring home number 7. I don't know. You know what? We may actually see Heinz Field implode like we saw it in The Dark Knight Rises when Bane comes in, and the whole field opens up, and you just see all these people just start falling in. And you can almost picture Bill Belichick like just walking out into Pittsburgh and going, "Pittsburgh, hear me!" You know, really, just like pulling a Bane, just like, you know, well, take control of your city. You know, really. I mean,
I'm laughing in my head because not only am I thinking about that, but I'm thinking about the South Park where they kind of did the Bane. They played off Bane, and all the guys in the neighborhood had like Bane masks on, and I'm just like, I don't know, but it's true, because like really they got a stay of execution last year. You know, they were all uptight last year, you know, and last year was probably worse because, you know, they had a chance that, you know, they blew it against Jacksonville and they could have had a chance and like, oh, we should have been there, blah, blah. You know, they didn't even make the playoffs this year. So this is, you know, insult to injury. You know what? They got lucky last year. They got the stay of execution. They got to hold on to that 6 by themselves for one more year. And now it's a race to 7, and right now it's Usain Bolt versus Tom Brady. and this is the one time you do not want Tom Brady, and that's in a foot race. And right now, that's where we're at right now. Because again, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about the offseason, but of course, you know, we've naturally blown through the time that we allotted for ourselves to do this show. But this team is not going anywhere. We talked about it. I think Trey Flowers is a guy that within a reasonable amount they will pay for. I don't think they're going to lowball him. I don't think they're looking to trade him for draft capital. I think they look at this guy as being a Dante Hightower cornerstone part. I mean, we saw them pay Stephon Gilmore. So, I mean, they pay people. And Gilmore, I mean, Jeez. I mean, talk about getting your money's worth with him. I mean, the guy is fantastic. And
and people were so set against giving him that money and saying that he was definitely not worth the contract. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was one of the ones that looked at that and said, "Well, I agree with the signing, but I think
it seemed out of out of character."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And but again, it's like, you know, you're talking about now he's and you know, with the new defensive coordinator coming in who likes to play a lot of man coverage and stuff like that, it's perfect because again, Stephon Gilmore, he's the type of guy I if you tell me he's going to be on player A, I'm like, "Okay." If you tell me he's going to be on player B, sure, let's do it. If you tell me he's going to be on Julio Jones 101, absolutely, sign me up. You know, so again, he's just one of those guys that, you know, we obviously got to see with Ty Law, and it was great that he got the call to the Hall this past weekend, and we talked about it last week's show, or Sunday, or Super Bowl Sunday morning show. But you know, this team is going to be around, and you know, I know Devin McCourty kind of hinted that, you know, maybe he walks out, but I really, the more I think about it, I don't think it's happening. I think they're both coming back. And if anything, the addition of Shiano, obviously from their Rutgers days, I think might play into that because it's you know, I imagine that's one of the reasons why he is there, just because of the familiarity and all that. You know, Gronk is,
elephant in the room.
Well, and that's why I was kind of saving it to the end. End-ish, because, you know, of course, you know, there's other things that will go on in the offseason. We'll dive into it a little bit more. You know, this is predominantly kind of our reaction to the Super Bowl, but there's a couple of things he said where, like, I've been kind of on that about 70-30%, you know, not to rip his 69% off, but, you know, the 70-30% that he probably was going to walk away and retire. But he's made a couple comments recently that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's starting to hint that, you know what, maybe I do got one more in me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and
I think a lot of people started to see the tide turn a little bit with Rob's appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Yes, and that's kind of what I was alluding to.
Where he basically came out and said, you know, oh, yeah, it's good, you know, shucking, jiving, moving, you know, getting out of the way of beer cans, you know, it's good. It's good practice for next season. And, you know, just something like that, just some little subtle hint like that, including the Instagram video that he and Brady did afterwards where they kind of, you know, mocked whether or not he was going to walk away, and they showed him shrugging his shoulders and, you know, moving back and forth. I think little hints like this are not something that a guy does who has completely made his mind up that he's ready to walk away from the game. I think you would see Rob Gronkowski has too much respect for the game of football, I think, to treat it so nonchalantly. I think you would see him be more introspective. I think you would see him be a little bit more, I don't want to say humble, because Rob is always a humble guy. He never comes across as being, you know, better than anybody or anything like that. He's a fun guy, but he's never cocky or arrogant. But I think you would see him be a little bit more contrite, maybe a little more introspective, maybe a little bit more reflective on his time. I'm not seeing that in Rob Gronkowski right now, and that gives me hope that Rob is going to come back for one more season. And I think, judging by the way he played the last few games in the playoffs, it shows that he still has a lot left in the tank. I know a lot of people were saying that he was inching. I know Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News over there loved to compare him to Bernie Lomax. If you think that did not motivate Rob Gronkowski, if you don't think he saw that, Manish, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know, maybe you're getting signals on the steel plate in your head, but really, it's unbelievable what these guys will do and think that it's going to have a negative impact on the Patriots. I mean, it was funny. I actually heard Jermaine Wiggins on WEEI say the other day, what if all these guys are actually closet Patriots fans and they do this just knowing that it's going to piss the team off enough to get them to play
at a level
where
you couldn't
believe. It works. You know, you get all these guys, and obviously these guys played into it. I love the fact that Kyle Van Noy absolutely went on a charge of the light brigade this week and called everybody out.
Yep.
He said he wanted Rob Parker moving up to Mexico, which, you know, FBC Patriots still has the offer out there, everybody. We're still collecting people that would love to help Rob Parker move to Mexico. We'll
carry his things ourselves. We will help you,
absolutely. Max Kellerman, he goes on Max's own show on First Take and basically says, yeah, have a nice season next year. It'll be one more year of talking about Tom. It's amazing. These guys bought into it hook, line, and sinker this year. They went right after it. And, you know, Yeah, there's ignoring the noise. Tom, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, they don't ignore the noise. Well, you know what? There's a difference between ignoring the noise and then turning it up when you need it for motivation, when it matters the most. That's what the New England Patriots did this year.
Tom hasn't missed the Super Bowl since Max said he was falling off a cliff.
Yeah,
three straight years. He hasn't gone. But yeah, and kind of to go back to Gronk for just a minute. You know, just the relationship, obviously, between he and Brady, and like, you know, it's I don't, you know, again, I'm a fan of the Patriots, so this stuff obviously gets me a little bit more. But the whole interaction we saw between. I mean, look, Tom Brady's daughter stole the show after you know, on the parade and post game and stuff like that. And you saw, obviously, the special connection. And Brady even talked about this, you know, weeks before the Super Bowl, where, like, you know, he's like, yeah, my kids much rather hang out with Jules and Gronk. And, you know, we see you know, obviously they call her Vivi, but it's Vivian. Up there yelling at Gronk and, you know, hi Gronky, all that stuff. And I don't know. It just it seems like they have such a close relationship, especially that triumvirate, those three players. You know, the entire team, obviously, you can see it among the players and how they interact and how they talk to each other and all that, and how they all follow through and kind of just jumped on this one message of they don't believe in us. So we're going to go out and prove them wrong. But I look at Gronk's relationship with the coach, and it, if anything, makes this whole Wickersham piece from last year look even more ridiculous. It's just look at how these players interact with each other and how they interact with the coach and everything like that. But Gronk in particular, I think he has a special relationship with Brady. I think he has a special relationship with the Crafts, with Bill Belichick. And I think, you know, again, maybe this is emotion talking, but I think there's a chance we get to see one more season of Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I agree. I really and truly do. And I mean, it's always difficult. And before we pump the tires too much and we get, you know, Patriots Nation too excited, let's also keep in mind that emotions run high after a Super Bowl, especially after a win. So, you know, there's no guarantee of anything. You know, Rob is going to have to go back to his life, essentially, and he's going to have to take a look and see, first of all, how he's feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's coming off of, I mean, Achilles tendonitis, it hurts just to say it, let alone actually go through it. I can't even imagine.
I can't even spell
that guy. Exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think if either you or I had that, I think we'd probably be in traction for like 6 months. This guy takes a couple of weeks off and then he's back. He's playing in games. Not to mention that he's also got a bulging disc in his back. And these are injuries that are not easy to overcome, and Rob Gronkowski makes it look easy. He still was relatively effective even with them. So if he's got the ability to come back and be healthy and feel good, I don't see why there's not an opportunity where he would come back. It's going to be whether or not he can put his body through the rigors of another 16-game season, then the playoffs. Because let's face it, the Patriots don't just quit at the end of December. They play into January. They play into February. So, you know, it's going to be a long haul. And can he put his body through those rigors? If he feels he can do it, I still think Rob has the desire to go out there and to play. I still don't think he's done with the game of football yet. So we'll see what happens. But I completely agree with you on the McCourty twins. I think they're back. I think that's just emotion running high. And, you know, you think about riding off into the sunset, winning a championship with your twin brother. I mean, that's a real magical moment. But I think these guys see an opportunity to do something really special. And I think that's why you'll see them come back as well. I don't think there's going to be too much turnover as opposed to you know, retirements. I don't think you're going to see that. Roster turnover is always a possibility. We'll see some guys that, you know, will not be back from this team, and that's definitely sad. But, you know, there's roster turnover every year. I mean, you can't keep teams intact 100% from year to year. It's not feasible. It's just not possible. So enjoy the afterglow of this Super Bowl championship. This is a Patriots team that we haven't seen in a while. This is one that had a real chip on its shoulder, a real edge, and I think a real camaraderie and a fun that we haven't seen from the Patriots in a number of years. And I think it culminated with the ultimate fun, and that's a parade down Boston and being able to celebrate, you know, from the convention center right through City Hall.
You know, they really mirrored the Red Sox a lot in a way. Not only because they both beat LA-based teams, but the Red Sox were obviously a very likable team, you know, between the manager and, you know, just the players involved. And it was kind of a lot of the same thing. Although with the Red Sox, there was a sense of inevitability with that team to win the World Series. Whereas with the Patriots, it wasn't quite the same. You know, there was much more uncertainty, especially late in the season. The Red Sox, I mean, you kind of just looked at them as like a juggernaut, and you know, rightfully so. They did what they had to do, but.
Right.
And we'll get into more of the off season stuff as we do more episodes throughout the off season and kind of dive into it. You know, just initial impression for me is like, I think honestly, the most turnover is going to be the offensive skill positions and specifically the wide receivers. I don't think Chris Hogan's going to be here. I feel like he doesn't quite fit what they're doing, whether it's him diminishing a little bit, you know, his inability to really get open right now. He can still be an impactful player, but I feel like his usage really is something where, do you really want to use him so little for another whole season? Good news, and that's something that we've heard little sprinkles about here in the last week or so, is that Josh Gordon might be ready by training camp.
And he's going to start reinstatement possibilities. And what a great story that would be.
Absolutely. And I think we actually, I can't remember if we did a show right after he got suspended. But I was talking to someone and we were talking together. It might have been, you know, through a chat or whatever. But I got the impression right away that this was not over for Josh when it comes to being with the Patriots, and for a number of reasons, the reaction from his teammates, subsequent social media posts, what the Patriots have said about him, what Bill Belichick has said about him, all gave me the impression that they want this kid here. They want him to figure out what, you know, we still don't really know exactly what happened. We know he had issues and now he's dealing with them. However, it seems like both the NFL and the NFL Players Association is willing to really try to help this kid, because again, when you're dealing with issues like this, it's the best thing in the world is not to suspend the guy and tell him to go away. You know what I mean?
Right.
And yep. I think they've shown an effort, both, again, got to give the NFL a little bit of credit here. I hate doing it, but I'm going to. The Patriots, the NFLPA, they obviously are concerned about the kid's health. And if he's back, it's from a purely football standpoint, the idea, like, he was effective. And I think they did. I don't want to say they got better on offense after he left, but I think there was pressure taken away from having to try to get him incorporated and get him a bigger role in this offense.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money there. I think when it comes to, you know, what this team had to do, I think there was so much uncertainty as what Josh was going to be able to bring to the table, what was going to happen with him, being able to incorporate him into an offense, bringing him in at a period where he had not had a full training camp to really absorb what this team had to do. I think it was a little bit of a difficult fit. You saw flashes of it. I mean, Brady's, you know, record-breaking touchdown pass was a tremendous, tremendous grab and a yardage gain by Josh Gordon. So the talent is unquestionably there. If he's able to get on the same page as Tom Brady and really work through
a training camp. Yeah.
I mean, I think the sky's the limit as opposed to what these two can do. It really, really would be special to see. And I hope that does happen, because regardless of what, I mean, anybody that struggled with any type of difficulty always loves to see someone be able to rise above that and come back stronger. And if he's able to do that, it's a remarkable story. It's a great thing for him. And I know a lot of people are rooting for him. Yeah, there are some that are rooting against him. I know that. I've come across people that, you know, followers of ours on Twitter and social media, Patriots fans, Patriots haters, that don't want to see him succeed, that feel that he's just squandered his opportunities. I think there's more than meets the eye with Josh Gordon, and I think that he's going to be someone that can make a real positive impact if he can get the help that he needs, which it looks like he's doing, and second of all, the mindset and the mentality to be able to move beyond that and move forward toward a productive future. I hope he can do it. And I'll take you one further. You said you hate giving the NFL any type of credit. I'm going to actually give credit, and I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm actually going to give a tiny, tiny bit of credit to Commissioner Roger Goodell when he gave his press conference on the Wednesday before the Super Bowl, where he says he's always thought very highly of Josh Gordon, and he hopes that Josh is able to get the help that he needs and possibly be able to come back stronger. He wouldn't commit to anything, but at least gave a little bit of positivity toward a situation where he could have very easily diffused it with negativity. So if there's any credit that I've ever given to him once in my life, that may be the only time where I have to give a little bit of credit and say, well, at least.
It floored me, Mike. You cut out there for a second, so I wasn't sure if you were finished. But maybe you passed out because you're actually giving Roger Goodell credit, and it kind of threw you off.
No, I blacked out. What happened?
Okay, yeah, it's like, wait, where am I? It's like
yeah, it's like an old school, you know?
Yeah,
where am I?
Yeah, I swear. Sometimes we share just half a brain, and I said that very deliberately because I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, just the circumference of the. Oh my god, what happened? I blacked out. But yeah, no, and again, it's all joking aside. It is, and that again kind of reemphasizes the point that it seems like if he does what he's supposed to do, there's a chance he could be back for this year. When I think. The majority of the reaction out there was he's done. He's never going to step on a football field again. And certainly by at this point, I think it's a certainty that he'll be back on the field. Now, again, this all is contingent on him continuing to do what he's supposed to do. But, you know, for the most part, this is, this is on him. And I think that he's getting an opportunity. And I think he relished the fact that he was with a team that not only was winning, but a team that really embraced him. And that was something he talked about all season. And we saw, even after he left the team, you know, again, you know, this is the day and age of social media. So, you know, you can read into things like when he likes people's photos or, you know, other players are changing their avatars, him in a Patriot. It's crazy. And you look at that and you're like, wow, this team like really had his back. And, you know, coming from the dysfunction that is Cleveland, to know that, you know, if he can really get himself right, he can have a good spot on this team moving forward. But,
right.
You know, yeah. It's exciting. But again, like I said, I don't want to get too much into it. We're going to actually cut it off here because we will spend a significant amount of time talking about off-season stuff and news. And next episode, we'll kind of jump a little bit more into the whole Greg Schiano thing. I know we mentioned it briefly here today, but hopefully by then we will have an official announcement. Although, I mean, it is what it is. Everyone kind of knows at this point he's going to be the guy. So running that defense. So, yeah, so we'll leave it at that. So, again, this is another fantastic season in the books. The Patriots are... once again, Super Bowl champions. I'm going to have to take some time and update our intro song because, it's kind of like technology.
Better hurry up. Combine's 3 weeks away.
Combine's 3 weeks off. Away. Exactly. Exactly. No, we'll get it all right. But until then, for all you out there listening, if you don't know where to follow us, I'm going to tell you right now. So you can follow me on Twitter. It's at IGLEN31. Mr. Mike Debate across the Ethernet cable from me. actually, he's a couple hundred miles away. I would just a guess. Again, my math isn't perfect, but Florida, Massachusetts,
yeah,
close enough. Yeah, exactly. But you can follow him on Twitter. It's at MDABATEFPC. And then, of course, head over to fullpresscoverage.com, and you got FPC_Patriots for all you Patriots fans out there. And as we move forward with this show, we will start to kind of dive a little bit more into the Bruins and the Celtics and, of course, the Red Sox now that the Patriots season is over. And again, thank you everyone out there for listening. And I hope that we will be right here 1 year from now talking about the seventh heaven.
Stairway to seven.
I love it. I love it. I got, I'll get the music all queued up. I'll have a new intro ready to go. But until then, we will have to enjoy the banner raising ceremonies and the championship celebrations and the ring ceremony, the big hoopla that goes on at Mr. Kraft's house at, right before the season starts. So, fellas, ladies, kids, old people, everyone out there, Martians, if you're listening. Enjoy it. You're never going to see it again. This type of success and run for this long a period of time with one player and one coach and all these other great players that have come and gone. It's never going to happen again in football. So if you hate it, I don't know what else to say. Just try to get over it. Get some sleep. Go out and do something on Sundays.
Ric Flair has said numerous times, whether you like it or you don't like it, learn to live with it. Because that's the best thing going today.
And that right there, folks, is how you end a show. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
You want to serve the Commonwealth? This is your chance.
This is a Heidi driving the right field, that was stolen to the right. Hunter on the move, racing back towards that. It's gone, it's in the open. This game is tied, this game is tied.
Wasn't living, y'all could be in the Super Bowl.